very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here, 49ers Plus Minus, late Sunday night with my co-host. That's Matt Barros. 49ers a couple hours ago lost 28-18 to the Kansas City Chiefs. Fifth straight loss to the Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce Chiefs. Not a happy time. Also, Brandon Ayuk suffered what appears to be a torn ACL. No confirmation of that, but that's what the 49ers fear. Usually when you fear it, that's what it is. Obviously, would be a huge blow. Ayuk hadn't been great this season, but I think he was coming into his own, was going to be a very valuable player. We'll just deal with that. We'll get to some of the other stuff later. I'll just say what I wrote about was in a kind of unique situation. Kyle Shanahan leaves his, finishes his postgame presser and walks, whatever I said it was 200 yards, whatever that number is, directly in the locker, which he always does very quickly. Now it's kind of behind him, not real close, but I was by anything. And then he goes directly to Brock Purdy's locker. Doesn't like stop with anywhere else. Kind of Purdy's already dressed in street clothes, getting ready for his own podium session. But Kyle puts his hand on his shoulder. Brock turns around and they have at least a 5-minute talk, at least. Couldn't see Kyle's face because he was pointing the other way, but I saw Brock's face and just seemed to be a conversation, going over some things. Purdy said it was about going over some things that happened in the game. Clearly he threw three interceptions, did not look great. Doesn't have his top three receivers in this game. That should be pointed out. The Chiefs are very good. That should also be pointed out. But I think it was something. I'm not saying it was nothing. I also don't think it was any moment of Kyle chewing him out or Purdy trying to, it was nothing like that. It was very serene conversation with some gesturing about routes or whatever, possibly. And I think the hint of it, of what it was really about, was Purdy. I asked him, I didn't ask him about that. He was asked about it. He said it was just about the game. But I said, do you feel the pressure to take on more responsibility with guys out? McCaffrey's still out. Ayuk now out possibly for the year. Debo was out for this game. Juwan was out for this game. We know what they're missing. And he said, no, I can only do what I do. And I'm not going to put on a Superman cape and try to be different. And I think Brock does not speak anecdotally like that very often. With a colorful comic book comparison, my guess is that was brought up by Kyle Shanahan or someone else in that locker room. Listen, don't force things. Don't think you have to make things on your own. Throw people open, throw a 50-50 ball. Because you throw a 50-50 ball to Brandon Ayuk, that's not terrible. You throw it to another receiver. We don't want to discount the talent of these guys, but they're not Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Juwan Jennings. I bet you that was the message. I bet you that we're good enough at least to beat Dallas on Sunday at Tampa after the bye, go down the schedule. Maybe not the Chiefs, but they weren't, who knows who's good enough to beat the Chiefs. I feel that was the message. And then Kittle kind of mentioned it too. Maybe Purdy forced some things. I believe in my quarterback, but maybe he forced some things. What was your read of that moment, Matt? I know you're in there. What's your read of just kind of the quarterback situation with Purdy overall with all his receivers kind of disappearing right now?
Yeah, I mean, I was right there and watching, and Shanahan was definitely not chewing him out. He wouldn't have done that with 35 reporters in the near vicinity. Anyway, it's something he does rarely, but he's done before. I remember in 2022, I got a really good photo of it. They were just sort of chatting at Purdy's locker. Purdy was sort of facing his locker. Shanahan was seated next to him, facing away from him, and they talked about the game for even longer than they did tonight. So, I mean, it's something that they do. And it's, like you said, to go over the game, to go over the plays. What were you seeing on this? Obviously it wasn't he doesn't do that if everything is, if Purdy went, exactly where he should have on every play. But they ended that up with a very friendly, not wasn't
hand
a bro
glass,
hug,
it was glass,
a bro yeah. handshake. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think there's any animus or anything like that. Purdy didn't have a good game. I mean, the whole offense was just off. And, you know, it was a surprise because on Friday, there was real electricity about this team in that practice. And I don't know whether it was due to Pearsall being back and knowing that he was going to play in this game or what. But it was good electricity. I thought the energy was going to be good. I thought the only way that the 49ers beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs is if they have one of those games like they had against Dallas, Jacksonville, and Philadelphia last year, where they're just off the rails. They have the energy. They have the aggression. They've got it. And this couldn't have been any farther from that vibe. And they were just off. And I don't, is it due to Debo? Was it going to be a very Debo-centric game plan? And then when he was sick to begin the game, did that kind of throw everything off? I don't know. But whatever it was, the first quarter was bad. They started to slowly get it together. But every time they did, Brock Purdy would throw an interception. So it got away from them. I mean, it was similar to the game against the Ravens last year. And I thought that was going to be Brock Purdy's lowest quarterback rating game. But he had a lot of yards in the second half and had a touchdown. So today's game is you know, if you're looking at quarterback ratings, is the worst game that Brock Purdy's ever had as a 49er.
Yeah, I think it goes hand in hand. They couldn't run the ball. I mean, they ran it a little bit in the second half. I think Mason had a 24-yard run. Overall, they could not run the ball, and Mason could not run it. They were getting stuff repeatedly on short yardage. They were getting stuff, and we know how important that is to this offense to give it physicality, to get the play action going, to get the safeties coming up, and so you can go over the top of them, open up some holes. That didn't go. That was not happening, and they will have to be able to run the ball. You know, whenever McCaffrey's back, if they're waiting for him for another month, or if he's back in 3 weeks, they got to run the ball. And that's not, you know, a slight on anything on the quarterback on the receiver. They just got to. This thing is built on running the ball, and then you take away Debo, and then you take away Ayuk, and then a lot of things start getting shaky there. And the Chiefs are, you know, Chiefs stopped them with. When the 49ers had McCaffrey and Debo and Ayuk too. So, like, this is not a mystery that the Chiefs can be tough on the 49ers. But, yeah, I just think they got to go into the next few games thinking we can just play it basic. We could, you know, as I say, just scheme. You got to scheme people. Okay, Kyle, you got this great system. He's got a system quarterback, theoretically. Go run it. And he can't try to force things. You got to be able to run it, do the play action. You know, maybe Debo becomes their best running back for the next week or two. They've just got to get back to what they're doing instead of, okay, Brock, you know, at times I think we've all toyed with that. Yeah, maybe Brock can just be Matt Ryan in 2016, you know, throw the ball 55% of the time. Maybe they can, not against the Chiefs and not in this situation. And maybe they're running up against some of that. You bring up the receivers. This is the week that they, you know, maybe suddenly quickly activated Ricky Pearsall, just kind of starts practicing, and there's just a sense, oh, wait a minute, he could play. And I thought that was they rushed it. But, man, did they need him, and they're going to need him into the future. He talked for the first time today since being shot in August, and he played like you would have thought, you know, if you saw him in training camp before all this whole thing, like sharp cuts. Can get open, make catches. What did you think of the Pearsall thing? And we'll get into the Ayuk situation maybe at the tail end of that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the game plan was for him to play a little bit, and he ended up playing a lot, most of the second half, because at that point both Debo and Ayuk had been ruled out. And, yeah, he looked like you would expect him to. I didn't see Purdy looking in his direction a whole lot. But he was getting open, and he got open in the end zone, and Purdy was looking the other way on one of those. But Purdy went in his direction on a 2-point conversion, incomplete. It was a good first game. I mean, if that was a preseason game for Pearsall, you would be thinking, okay, this guy's going to going to have a nice season. And I think he probably will. I mean, I think that they're going to have to use him at some point. And Jacob Cowing got more. Kittle kept referring to Jake, mm-hmm. Jake. And I was like, oh, okay, he means Jacob Cowing.
Jake Tongas. Tongas is what he's talking about.
At first I was thinking, wow, I guess Tongas played more than I thought he did. But both Kittle and Cowing had a 41-yarder in this game that tied for longest play of the game because the Chiefs don't throw long anymore. They're a team that exists on short passes, it seems like. And we could talk about how the 49ers defense did a little bit later because I thought that they did pretty well. Debo Samuel is not out for very long, if at all. I asked Shanahan about Juwan Jennings. He said they hope to have him back this week for the Cowboys. So, I mean, and they've got George Kittle. And now they've got Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing, more in the mix. And we've seen this happen on defense with the rookies getting mixed in early and then playing really well. If Pearsall and Cowing end up playing as well as Malik Mustafa and Renardo Green have, you're not going to replicate Brandon Ayuk, but I think that will help a lot. And you saw Cowing get that screen pass that just seemed like it's been there all season. And for some reason, they just haven't put him in on offense. I don't know if it's Shanahan's tough love to rookie receivers or what, but point is they need those guys now. Those guys are going to get snaps now, and they've got the tools, the wherewithal to show something.
And Cowing gets open deep down the right side late in the game. Purdy lofts it up. Did that remind you of another deep pass down to the right side late in the game earlier this season that maybe wasn't caught? I was like, when it went up in the air, I go, oh, my God, is that 10 down there? Or, oh, no, it's not 10 yet. It's slightly different because the safety was coming over on the one that Ronnie Bell dropped against the Rams. But it was something. He had broken open, slightly underthrown, but – obviously hits him in the hands. He drops it. Cowing grabs it, comes down. He's being single guarded. It's not, this is a little different situation, but that was the question I asked Shanahan after the Rams game. Why wasn't Cowing running that? I think we got a positive answer to what might've happened there. Cowing looks dangerous. He just does look dangerous. And Pearsall,
he's got speed.
Yes, speed and like effective speed. Like he looks like he can go cut across the middle and outrun somebody. And that, as you said, that screen pass was like a dangerous thing. That looked like it could go.
Yeah, I thought that was going to go into the end zone. Yeah.
And Pearsall, I think like three catches for Pearsall. He looks like a first down kind of guy. Like, you know, third and seven, go get 10. And a guy that, yeah, as we've said, Purdy could throw to. Those sharp cuts. I don't know that he's going to outrun anybody, but he just looks like a solid, you know, maybe a guy who can play the Ayuk role. You know, we've said Conley certainly can play it, but maybe Pearsall can play it too. I mentioned in my column for the San Francisco Standard, like, and I asked Shanahan about it, gave me the standard answer about would you look for a receiver in a trade? We're going to look at everything. Don't know. Depends on what's available. There might be some guys, you know, you look at it. I mean, Amari Cooper and Davante Adams already go. So you think, the market's tapped out. I mean, there's some teams that could lose some games in the next 2 weeks. I mean, I'm not saying Tyreek Hill would be traded or the 49ers, but like a guy like that, I'm just saying a guy like that or somebody's second receiver that can plug in. Don't know that the 49ers are desperate for a receiver, but I think, you know, they got an Emmanuel Sanders in, you know, 2019, and that helped them a ton. Like that level of player, give up a third round and a sixth round. You know, Kendrick Bourne level player. I don't know if Kendrick Bourne is still a Kendrick Bourne level player, but we know the familiar names. We know the type. You know, if there's somebody Carolina has that's worth a fourth round pick, I don't even know who that would be. Could you see the 49ers doing something in the next week or so, Barris?
I can see them making a trade in the next week or so. I don't think it's going to be at wide receiver just because they do have bodies at that position. And like I said, the first look at them today was good. It was encouraging. So, you know, that's my inclination. It depends what names are kind of bandied about at the trade deadline. There probably are some names. And there was another receiver, and I can't think of it right now, whose name has come up already.
They're not getting Cooper Kupp.
But but there might be another Kupp type. I mean, gosh, the Jets just lost again. They've lost twice, by the way, since Aaron Rodgers fired Robert Saleh.
To trade for Devontae Adams.
Exactly. Maybe Devontae Adams is available.
Mike Williams. I mean, there's a big body receiver.
That's true. He's not.
I wouldn't give up much for him. He's really slow, but you know, what if Debo gets hurt and is out for 5 weeks? You know, that sort of thing. I always say, you're an injury away from being an emergency. Why don't you just line yourself up for it?
Right.
That's why they drafted Pearsall, right? It wasn't exactly the plan this year. It was just in case we need him down the road. And guess what? They need him right now.
Yeah, I keep thinking that defensive end or defensive tackle is going to be the position. DJ Jones seemed like a really great pickup. He's in his final year with the Broncos. Problem is that the Broncos keep winning. The Broncos have a much better record than the 49ers do. I mean, the Broncos should be asking the 49ers if they want to trade any of their guys. Let's just switch to defense now. I thought that the defense played really well. Leonard Floyd looks more like Leonard Floyd than he did early in the season. He's been effective, and Bosa was one of the three best players on the field for the 49ers. But again, after that, there's a huge drop off.
My guy, safety, Malik Mustafa.
He was good. I was going to say I would put any sort of order. I would put Bosa, Mustafa, and D'Amador Lenore as the three top players. I thought D. Winters, who I've been critical of, had his best game. He's using that speed for what it's designed for, instead of just kind of running haphazard all over the field. It was much more focused today. My sense is that Charvarius Ward had a good game. He just did not hear his name at all, which makes me think that his coverage was really good. We'll have to look into that more deeply tomorrow. But the defense played well. I mean, there was the bad, missed tackles on Patrick Mahomes running down the sideline. And there were a couple of end arounds that they had real trouble stopping. But other than that, a pretty solid game from this defensive team.
They only gave it 4.8 yards per play to Chiefs. That is good. That's like 49ers were 5.3, I think. So 5.5. So if you just go per play, and I know you can't just go by that, but I think it's a great stat. They were not overwhelmed in any way. I thought it was a real solid game. Bosa was really good. Other guys were good. Kalia Davis with a friggin' pick.
Yeah.
Tip up and pick. They got turnovers. I thought it was a good game for Nick Sorensen. Now, there's another embattled coordinator on this team, Brian Schneider, on special teams. And some good plays. They stop a fake punt. Oh, my God. They stayed in safe defense and they stopped a fake punt. I don't know why Andy Reid did that. I didn't think he needed to steal possessions from the 49ers at that point, but that's okay. But bad punt coverage, which was crucial at a really crucial time. And third kicker, what are you going to get? But misses an extra point. Makes, two field goals or one field goal? I don't even know. He looked fine kicking the field goals too, but not a great kickoff guy. I think we knew that. And misses an extra point. They can't play a clean game on special teams. They just can't manage to do it. And this was a game where you could not afford to play a sloppy game.
I've got two special teams questions for you. What did you think of Mitch Wisnowski's onside?
I don't know what that was.
That was the funniest thing.
I was like, did he miss it? No, he just tried. Did he try to do that? I guess he tried to do a
right
at a slightly higher speed than kicking it 2 yards, but I guess the Anders Carlson must not have a onside kick in him, because that was not the one to produce.
Or Wisnowski was showing some magic with some practice field onside kicks.
That was, I thought he just swung and he missed or something. But no, I think he intended to hit it like that. He just slightly missed it. So it did not go 10 yards.
I thought that was a very nice symbol for the game, a metaphor for the 49ers week 7 outing. Okay, here's my second question. Mm-hmm. Do the 49ers part ways with Brian Schneider at the bye?
Man, do they have someone they could put there? That would be my question. Does he? Who's his assistant? Don't they?
I know what he looks like. I can't name him off the top of my head. And I guarantee you that Shanahan really has no clue about, you know,
who the assistant special teams guy is.
he might know the name, but you know, my point is that that's not a focus for Shanahan. No. I mean, Shanahan just would much rather just say, okay, Brian, just take care of it. Just get better, and we'll deal with this at the end of the season. I just don't know who's available.
There's not random teams guys, and they don't know your team. They don't know your roster. It would be tough. And your old bring Sala in as DC and move Sorensen to special teams. That's a great idea. It is not likely to happen. I think Kyle might be ready to do it, but you don't have that guy there. I don't. Maybe they do. Maybe there's somebody on staff who, you know, would like to do. Would Mick Lombardi like to do it? I don't know. But it just
maybe,
doesn't.
Maybe get Robbie back. Robbie would do it.
Robbie Gold.
Yeah.
The coach.
Oh, yeah. He's about to be finished with his high school season in Rolling Meadows. He could come back. Robbie would do it like that, and he'd be awesome.
And he'd want to be paid $2 million to do it too, also. I go in a lot of these games thinking, okay, Kyle doesn't care about special teams. Yeah. You know, if his team's better than the other one, he doesn't want to mess around. This was not one of those games. Like, this was a game where to try to steal a possession, to try to fake a field goal and get 7 instead of 3 might have really been a difference maker. Because you know what? The Chiefs are better than them. Patrick Mahomes is going to get you on 3rd down 5 out of 8 times. Like, this is going to happen. But Kyle will just never do it. He'll just never think like that. In some parts, I respect it because I do what I do. I don't want to screw around. I don't want to get all fancy. But, like, these teams are getting it on them. Right. I mean, you're losing ground by not being creative there, but they'll never fake a field goal, like, ever. And maybe you at least want to try something like that. You know, you got a third kicker doing this. Maybe he's not the greatest in the world. I don't even think they have fake field goals in the book. I just don't think it's there, which is a very, you know, when you're a team loaded with Pro Bowlers, and this team still is. But they've lost a lot of them, and they don't have them available. Maybe when you play the Chiefs, play a couple other teams, you might want to be able to steal a possession, steal a touchdown, and that's just not where they are. So I think Kyle would do it. I think he's mad enough about it. His answers to the questions are not warm and fuzzy, you know, bouquets to Brian Schneider at all. And he's fired Hightower, which was his buddy, right? Didn't fire Hightower, right? Hightower left for another opportunity, but we all know he was not coming back as special teams coach. It's been, if anything, you know, just the same or a little worse with Schneider. So you got to be willing to make the move. I just don't know where they would go, who that could possibly be. Robert Saleh want to coach special teams?
Maybe.
It's just not good. It's not, they're not being coached well. And Shannon keeps bringing it up. We have hurt players. So the players who are on social teams are playing, you know, on team, and the players who are on coverage and blocking on special teams are younger players who've never done it. And I get it. Like, but every team has that. Like, this is not unique to the 49ers, and they are completely blowing it. Like, that punt return, there was just nobody there on the left side. There was no one there. How is that possible? You just, somebody from the outside must have just come inside undisciplined and left it wide open. That's bad football. Anything else you got, Barros?
Well, I mean, I was just going to ask you, let's just say that they come back and they beat the Cowboys, a team that they've been very good against in recent years, and they're 4-4 heading into the bye. Is everything okay in 49ers land if that's the scenario, which is probably the likeliest scenario right now?
Everything is not okay, obviously, pending Christian McCaffrey, pending Dre Greenlaw, pending Jake Moody. You know, they have, and do they get someone else hurt in the Dallas game? But I do think that's the likeliest scenario, and I think it keeps them right in it. Like, they're right in it. Notice, you know, they're not talking about number one seed anymore. They're talking about winning the NFC West, and that is the realistic goal, because I don't think they're chasing down the Lions or the Vikings for the number one seed. It's safer for them. It's better for them to say, let's just win the division, get a home field game in the first round, and then go from there. And if they go, they win, and then Seattle's just one game ahead of them, or maybe Seattle loses. I think they got Buffalo in Seattle on Sunday. Then you're, if you win and Seattle loses, you're in first place again. And maybe the, you know, I think the Rams win, and then maybe they're in there too. It's a jumble. You're okay. Now you lose Ayuk, you're less talented, right? You lose. So who's out for the year? Ayuk, Hargrave, anyone else out for the year of major significance?
No, not of major significance.
And they could get McCaffrey, Ayuk. Well, they're not getting Ayuk yet. McCaffrey,
Greenlaw.
Jennings, Greenlaw, and Hufanga could come back.
Moody and Gross Matos.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So there's reason for optimism. November could be a month where they get a lot of guys back. Yep. The issue is that they're losing guys at a higher rate than they're getting guys back. And it's starting to really kind of take on the flavor of 2020 when they were just snake bit. Yep. They just couldn't get on top of the injury issue, and it sunk them before the season even began. The 49ers are obviously better off now than they were in 2020, but boy, it just seems like as the season goes on, they lose another guy and another guy, that this idea that this is not their year at some point, if this continues, is going to override the optimism of guys coming back.
Yeah, and it becomes a survival thing. Like, okay, we're not going to be the number one seed. And, you know, the two times they've gone to the Super Bowl in Shanahan, they were the number one seed. So we know how much it helps them. But get in there as the four or the five or whatever you're going to be, and just do what you can. Like, just try to wreck a few people's seasons, and then who knows what will come out. And, you know, if they got Bosa, Warner, Kittle, Purdy, Debo, and then get McCaffrey back, you got a shot at it. Like, you're not going to be anybody's favorite. And you're going to have to go to people's place, you know, beat Detroit, or beat Minnesota in Minnesota. You would not be a favorite to do that. But it's a proud team. These is not a young team, as we talked many times. You think Trent Williams just wants to say, forget about it. Who cares?
Yeah, that pussycat, yeah, he doesn't care about it.
Yeah, he's going to punch somebody in the face.
He punched him into Milpitas.
Yeah, and he's going to get fined for that, by the way. I think Nick Bosa wants to say, you know what? That's okay. Let's just shut it down. No. Now, listen, Purdy gets hurt or Bosa gets hurt, different story. Like, they're at the limit of that one. But if they stay healthy, knowing that they will not stay fully healthy, but in stay healthy at the right spots, you fight. You just keep fighting. And we've seen this team fight. You know, this team has fought with worse quarterback. This team has fought without Christian McCaffrey. They get him in there. You know, they're going to be one of those – you know, who wants to play the 49ers as the sixth seed? You know, they're going to be one of those, which we've seen them win two road games and get to the NFC Championship game.
So, with less talent, too.
With less talent. And with Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback. And, you know, I praised Jimmy when he was a quarterback because he won games, but he's not as good as Brock Purdy. You know, and Brock had a bad game today, but he is still the guy who can do the maximum with the Shanahan system. And I don't think it's a contemptuous thing to say he's a system quarterback. He's like the perfect quarterback for a great system. That's not a bad thing. And he can be a lot better. And I imagine he will be on Sunday. And I sound like Kittle. That's what Kittle said. He's going to sling it. He's going to sling it on Sunday. All right, Barros, 49ers 3-4, still in the playoff race. Things are a little shaky, but they can kind of stabilize with a win if they get it over Dallas. If they do not win on Sunday, Barros, then it's going to be interesting next couple weeks.
Then it gets bad, yeah.
Can you imagine them ever being sellers, Barros?
Yes, only because you know, they do have an abundance of wide receivers, or they did.
Yeah, I don't know who they would trade though.
But 3-5 at the trade deadline, that's not.
No,
you can't give up on the season at that point.
And plus, because they're valuable guys all have these massive contracts that you cannot trade.
Yeah.
You know, the acceleration for Debo, and I know Diana got, I mean, listen, I'm sure she's hearing it from somebody, so that he could be traded. It's like, do you understand what the acceleration for his on the salary cap would be if they traded him at midseason? It would be ridiculous. I guess they could take it. They still have cap space, but why would you want to? You'd want Debo. You want Debo Samuel on your team.
You need him.
Yeah. And Kyle runs his offense through him. I do think there was a good chance that this was going to be a very Debo-centric game, and they don't have him. Debo, again, looked like me walking out of a restaurant in Seattle on Wednesday night. That's what he looked like in this game.
He was a little ginger.
I'm not saying that. You are the one saying that. All right, Barros. That's it for tonight. We'll come back and do another show later in the week, but there's a little post-game show. I think this is going to be post on Monday morning, but we've just finished recording this on Sunday evening. Have a good night, Barros.